This is a BICOM podcast. I'm Richard Pater, the director of BICOM in Israel, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Eli Chazan, who is the foreign affairs director of the Likud party. Eli was appointed by Prime Minister Netanyahu in 2014 to set up this department, which deals with Likud's engagement with international communities and politicians from around the world. We're 4 days ahead of the election, so Eli, thank you very much indeed for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Eli, we've seen the latest polls that the Likud seems to have taken over as the largest party. How confident are you of victory?
No, we're not about it. I mean, we're not confident that we're going to win. Our main target is to take out voters who did not come to win in the last election. Approximately 250,000 voters. It depends on them. We didn't win yet, so It depends on us. I want to emphasize one more thing. In Israel, most of the times, the polls are inaccurate. Until the election day, we remember the story of 2015, we had the same story in 1996 and in 1981.
So can you give us some insights, kind of what's the plan with 4 days to go? What are the tactics to get out those 250,000 voters?
It is very simple. What we are trying to do is to go to their houses and call upon them come to vote in order to prevent a left-wing government supported by the Arab Joint List. And I want to emphasize one more thing. I will use this opportunity. We have nothing against the Arab citizens of Israel. We invested approximately 15 billion shekels in order to integrate them into the society, but we have a lot against the Arab MKs who support terrorism. And we are trying to make the distinction between them. That's one of our arguments. In order not to give power to the Arab Joint List, in order to prevent left-wing government, which we believe is a disaster for the state of Israel, go to vote.
And what are the messages that you're using to kind of to appeal to the Israeli voters?
Besides preventing left-wing government supported by the Arab MKs, we speak a lot about economy. I mean, how Netanyahu changed the state of Israel. What are the plans for the future, and what is the alternative? By the way, it reminds me very much of what's happened in Britain with Corbyn. The left wing in Israel, it's not Corbyn at all, but the ideology, if you speak economically, it's very similar in many senses. So that's what we are trying to do.
Now, of course, as we've discussed many times on this podcast, kind of the golden ticket is to get over 61 to kind of form and to work on the bloc, and obviously that's failed twice in 2019. I mean, how do you see that playing out this time around?
It is a good question. I tell you the truth, I cannot answer because I simply don't know. I know that we are making a lot of efforts. Prime Minister Netanyahu made a lot of rallies. This is the first time after so many years. We invested a lot in order to get those 250,000, and we hope for good. I'm optimistic.
But if the results come out last time, kind of with you as the largest party, or close to blue and white, but the right wing bloc failed to get over the 61, then how will it play out? How will you break the deadlock?
Well, Benny Gantz already spoke about fourth election. We are not for it because it's a waste of money. We will try to get some MKs from the left wing. It seems right now that this is an impossible mission, but I believe in Netanyahu. In the end, I believe that we will be able to get some MKs. It depends on the number. If we will get 59, we need only two. So I truly believe that we will get those two or three MKs that we need. I hope we will not go into a fourth election. By the way, in that case, I believe that after fourth election, blue and white is going to lose because people will understand that they wanted the fourth election. We were going to use it in our next campaign if we will have it. That Gantz wanted fourth election, it's irresponsible. Hmm.
And one of the issues coming up is the Prime Minister's legal issues coming up with the trial starting on the 17th of March. How do you feel that affecting the process going forward?
I tell you the truth, it was very surprising because people do not speak with me about it, at least not a lot of people. And in Israel, we are so fragmented. If you are pro-Bibi, you're pro-Bibi in any case. If you're against Bibi, you're against Bibi in any case. Unfortunately, the facts doesn't matter anymore. And that is the division, and I'm saying unfortunately. I believe strongly that Netanyahu is innocent, and this is why people like me invest a lot of their time in order to get victory for Netanyahu.
There's a story that's broken this week here about the data breach of the Likud app. Could you tell us about that and how concerned you are about that?
Yes, of course, we are concerned about it. We have the Elector, that is the app, and it's under a lot of attacks, not only by Blue and White, but we have some signs that people from Turkey, for instance, from Russia, is trying to break it. And for us, that is a challenge. We will do everything human possible in order to win with it.
The other issue that we've seen discussing this week is kind of the latest round of fighting in Gaza with Islamic Jihad firing over 100 rockets towards the south of Israel. I mean, we've been stuck in this situation for many years. But what does the Likud we can anticipate to see to solve this scenario?
First of all, Prime Minister spoke about a new operation in Gaza. I strongly believe that we need to make a lot more pressure on Gaza. I against going inside Gaza because I truly believe that it can be our next Vietnam, the same story of Vietnam that happens to the United States. More pressure, and what we are trying to do, don't forget, we have the deal of the century. And the deal of the century specifically mentioned that Gaza should be demilitarized. And I strongly believe in this program of Trump. This is a good way in order to overcome this problem.
And we've seen the Likud vote has stayed relatively strong and stable in the south. Are you confident that kind of will remain? I mean, how do you kind of despite their criticism of the government, they're staying loyal to the Likud party?
It is very simple. You need to understand the picture in a historical point of view. Those who live in the south, they were discriminated by the Labour Party for so many years. After Likud rose to power in 1977, and especially after Netanyahu was re-elected again, we invested a lot of money in order to change the economic destiny of the region. This is why they support strongly on Likud. Those are people who used to grow up very poor in the 1950s, 60s and 70s, and today a lot of them, not all of them, they are, I would not say rich, but they became middle class. For instance, a lot of them go to the universities and colleges that were encouraged by us. So this is one of the main secrets why we gain a lot of support. And again, I spoke about it previously, they have a lot of antagonism to the Labour, to the Blue and White, to the left wing in Israel. If I would have to define it in a very simple word, they are concerned about left wing government because they do remember what's happened in the past. By the way, they have a criticism against Likud, but they remember that Yitzhak Rabin brought the PLO into the territories. They remember that. They remember that we are against the Palestinian Authority terror or Hamas terror, but they remember that the left wing is calling to negotiation with Hamas and with the Palestinian Authority. That's the difference in the end.
We heard to the right of the Likud party, the Jewish Power Party came out with their demands last night to withdraw from the race, including kind of announcing the cancellation of Oslo formally and the removal.
They will
of
not get it.
No,
they will not get
it. Do you think they're going to stay in the race, and how harmful is that?
I hope for them not, because in a very simple way, they destroy our chances to win. If they are right wingers, they should retire. And I want to remind to those who are listening to us, in 1992, the right-wing parties did the same mistake. They run many parties with wasting votes, and Jewish Power may do the same mistake. As I told to Itamar Ben-Gvir, our blood will be on you. That is your responsibility. I hope you will do it. I'm quite pessimistic about it.
You think he's going to stay the stay?
Yeah. And this is a mistake. This is a big mistake.
What do you think? What does he have to gain by staying in but failing to reach the threshold?
Two things, as much as I heard, and I haven't spoken with him about it. Two things. First of all, he wants to make a revenge on Naftali Bennett, who neglected him by himself. And the second thing, in Israel, if you get two seats, it means more than 1%. That it means that you have a fund or budget to your waste of the of the election campaign, so yeah, it comes from there.
Mm. You mentioned before the Trump plan. We saw this week the Prime Minister was in Ariel and kind of started the six-man team, the U.S. joint Israel-U.S. team, are starting to do the mapping process. What's the time schedule on that? How do you see that playing out after the election?
no one knows what is this time schedule. We hope to annex right after the election. Again, it depends on the Israeli voters. If we will get 61, it will be much easier for us. Mm. By the way, we will not do it without American support. It is very important for us, for Netanyahu, to do it with American support. It is very important. But again, it depends on the 61. I cannot tell you because I simply don't know whether we will get 61 or not. And I want to remind you one more thing. There are some MKs from Blue and White who are in favor of this deal. So it depends on that as well, whether they will join us in the next vote or not.
Do you think if, I mean, there was a 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a suggestion by Blue and White to put the whole of the plan to a vote in the Knesset. Is that something that you would support, that you think the Likud party would support the whole plan?
No doubt about it,
Even though it calls for a Palestinian state creation eventually?
And the answer is yes, and I must be frank with you. I don't believe they will create a Palestinian state because the terms in the agreement, they will not accept it ever. In general, I'm an Israeli who believe that the Palestinians don't want us here. Not all the Palestinians, but the Palestinian leadership. I mean, they had so many opportunities to create their own state, but they did not use it.
Okay. Eli, on that note, we'll leave it there, but thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So we're now in Tel Aviv, and we have the pleasure of sitting with MK Yisrael Shai, who is an MK with the Blue and White Party. I can say now, almost because of the last year, a veteran of Israeli politics, fighting his third election campaign. Before going into politics, Shai was a venture capitalist and actually joined Benny Gantz's faction, the Resilience Party, before it was formed into Blue and White. So I wondered if you could start just by telling us the background of how you joined Benny Gantz's party, how you into politics.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard. I joined Benny Gantz's party about a year ago, in February of 2019, after having spent about 30 years with the Israeli high tech in all kind of capacities. I'm an electronics engineer, so I started as a software engineer my career with the Israeli high tech. Then I moved on to all kind of entrepreneurial and management positions. I started a number of companies. I managed a company that I had founded with two additional partners. I was the CEO of that company. We raised funding from international venture capital firms, and I relocated to run that company from the United States. We ended up selling that company through a successful exit to a US-based public traded company. And then I moved on to run another company, which was also sold successfully a couple of years later. Came back to Israel in 2005 in order to join an international venture capital firm called Canaan Partners. Canaan is based in Menlo Park, California, and in New York City. I was the Israeli partner of the team. And I did that for about 15 years. Through investments and visiting and interacting with thousands of Israeli entrepreneurs, I started to realize the role that this important economy could have in influencing other parts of our economy and society. And that brought me to all kinds of activities as a volunteer with all kinds of programs that try to integrate other communities and other parts of the Israeli society into the Israeli high tech. And I also worked with social economic challenged kids, youngsters around the country. I became the chairman of an organization that deals with those kids. And throughout that long journey, I had the privilege of meeting with Benny Gantz post his release from the Israeli army. We came close in terms of I was one of those people who helped him get on board of the various parts of the Israeli economy, society, various aspects of the regular non-military life in this country. He took upon himself to learn systematically the various aspects of Israel to get prepared to what he's doing now. When he started his party, I was amongst many, many people who were very happy to realize that he's joining the Israeli politics. I thought that that could make a significant change in our politics and later on in leading our country into various good, positive directions. And this resulted in me joining the HOS and the Resilience Party in February of 2019.
Thank you. I mean, from your experience of working with party leader Benny Gantz, how would you describe him as a leader? What aspects of his leadership impresses you most?
Benny is a very thoughtful, extremely intelligent individual. He's very, very thorough in understanding areas that he wants to influence. He's very impressive in his approach towards driving vision down to programs, then to reality. This is the way he built his party. This is the way he managed us to build our platform, to build our programs. He coordinated through his leadership very impressive individuals, all of us, I'm not including myself, but other very impressive individuals, all of whom come from relatively relevant backgrounds to what he was looking to introduce in terms of policies, in terms of programs and so on. So as an example, local municipalities have significant influence on various parts of the Israeli economy and society. So we have a number of people who ran municipalities in our party. You know, high tech and innovation. He has me for that and a couple of other people. Obviously, international policies, defense, you know, climate and protecting our environment. So we have people who come with background and expertise in the areas that he wanted to touch upon. His leadership also goes through leading by example. He's a very down-to-earth individual, speaking with the people with no pretensions, trying to understand the issues from the bottom up, and touching upon the hearts of many people. I think that, you know, I'll answer this in another fashion. I had other opportunities to join the Israeli politics just because of my work in other domains of public service, so to speak. Benny Gantz is the one individual that has impressed me so much. So to live a very comfortable lifestyle, a very nice, interesting and exciting job in order to do what I'm doing today. And I think that happened to all of us who joined him in his party.
So 4 days to go before the election. How do you rate your prospects?
This is the one hardest area to predict. I wouldn't want to gamble on anything. Based on what we see and all kind of thorough research and data that we have gathered, we believe that we are in a good position to introduce the change that we are aspiring to introduce. We will end up these elections hopefully with a more decisive situation than we had in September of last year. And if we are able to accomplish that goal, we hope to be in a better position to be called by the president to have the mandate to form a new government. And based on all kind of conversations we are having and discussions that we are initiating, we believe that there are realistic chances to form a government under Benny Gantz, under the Blue and White Party, in coalition with other parties, so to be able to finally to move on and to run this country.
But the chances are, I mean, we're all skeptical of the polls, but at least the trend for the last 6 months plus has basically been deadlocked, that the centre-left bloc that you lead will not have 61. Now, the other side may not have 61 either. So, I mean, if we're stuck again in that, how do you see it playing out this time round?
So the end result, the political result, will be determined by political actions and not by the votes in the polls. So everybody expects the final outcome of these elections to reflect more or less the results of September, plus minus two mandates to each side, will not make a deterministic change. So no side will be able to form a government on its own. A coalition will be needed in order to form a new government. And so the political actions post the elections will be the ones that will form the new government. And we believe that we are in a better position than Netanyahu's, just because he does have a strong bloc, so to speak. But that's about it. And we have options, and we are proactively, you know, preparing those options for the post-elections day in order to be ready to form a government once we are called upon by the president.
One last question. Again, with 4 days to go, what are the messages and the kind of what's the campaign tactics in this final leg of the journey? What are the messages that we're likely to see over the weekend?
We have two layers of messages which we are trying to use in tandem. One of them is the promise. We have a vision that we have carefully prepared, which deals with every aspect of day-to-day lives in Israel. We have carefully planned, devised plans to deal with the big deficit in our budget. We have plans to grow the economy, to enhance the high-tech innovation, to solve the significant crisis in our agriculture, to enhance the education system in Israel, to deal with the healthcare issues and so on. So we are trying to make sure that people understand that we have devised a thorough and comprehensive plan to bring Israel to the end goal of the current vision, which is 2048, 100 years to the existence of the state of Israel. We have a certain vision as to how do we want this nation to look like. And that's the big picture of that layer of messaging. And the other one is a very significant concern as to what happens if Netanyahu succeeds and takes over the next government of Israel. We do believe, sincerely, this is not an electoral issue. This is really a fundamental belief that we are all concerned with. Netanyahu risks the Israeli democracy. We are very concerned with his possible actions to save himself from his legal problems. And hence, we are going to make sure that everybody who votes in Israel understands that voting for other people than blue and white may risk the Israeli democracy as we perceive it today. So that's going to be a very strong message for the next 4 days.
MK Sashai, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.